And today we are continuing our series in the book of James and Faith Under Fire. And each one of you know that for the past couple of weeks we've been working through James chapter 1, James chapter 2, and today we are working through James chapter 3. Also, let me just remind you that as we look at the book of James, let me remind you that James is writing to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. Remember that in James chapter 1? He's writing to a group of Jewish Christians who have been scattered all over Asia Minor. And since they are scattered, they are no longer in Jerusalem. They can no longer go to the temple. And James writes to encourage them. He writes a letter to encourage them to keep the faith, even though their faith might be under fire. And I don't know about you this morning, but that's a word in itself. Amen.
That's right.
It's encouraging to know that God wants us to keep the faith, even though our faith might be under fire. Is your faith under fire today? Well, I just want to encourage you to keep the faith. James told the believers, those Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad, he told them in James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into different types of trials and temptations. He told them the reason that they should count it all joy is because it works toward the maturing of their faith. Can you say count it all joy with me today? Amen. Can you feel me when I say count it all joy, no matter what you may be going through? Are you able to count it all joy? Are you able to praise God in the midst of your trials? Are you able to raise your hands to God and say hallelujah? Are you able to raise your hands to God and say praise the Lord? And even though I am struggling, even though I'm going through a difficult time, I'm going to praise you, God. I'm going to lift up your name because I know that when I come through, when I get to the other side, I know that everything is going to be okay.
Amen.
God wants us to know today that whatever we may be going through, that he's working it out. Because all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When we think about James chapter 3, today we want to talk about taming the tongue. Taming the tongue. I love you. You're important to me. Thank you so much. How can I repay you? You look really nice today. I like your new haircut. I like your new hat. You know what? This place wouldn't be the same without you. I'm proud of you. You are irreplaceable. When you think about those words and those phrases, what do they do? What do they do? They encourage, don't they? Not only do they encourage, but they also build as well, don't they? Those words build. I hate you. I mean, not you, Carlos. I just happen to be looking that way. You disgust me. I wish you had never been born. I wish you were dead. You make me sick. I want a divorce. You know what? Nobody cares about you anyway. I'll never speak to you again. What do those words do? Tear down, don't they? Discourage and tear down. I want to talk to you today about the power of words and how words shape and define our lives and how words reveal our true faith. You know, there are times when what we say can do nothing but cause trouble. There are times when the words that we say and the things that we say cause nothing but difficulty. In fact, our words have a way of creating more trouble than they are worth, and even more trouble than they intend. How much do we talk? How much? Just how much do we talk? You know, the pretty much the general statistic about talking says that, you know, men say about 7,000 words a day and women speak about 20,000 words a day. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. 20,000 words a day. It's interesting, though, because there was a research done at the University of Arizona. And these kids, they put a recorder on a select group of students that will record their words for a period of 17 hours a day. Every word they said was recorded. And you know what this study turned up? It turned up that women speak about 16,000 words a day. Men speak about 15,500 words a day. So according to this study, it lets me know that men speak almost as much as women do. Guys, it seems like that the tables are turning. It seems like the more our culture changes and grows, men are speaking more than we used to. Interesting. But the point is, we talk a lot. We talk a lot. The average person spends 1/5 of his life talking. You know that a single day's work could fill one book? Do you realize that if you talk for one day, the words that you say can fill a book? If you talk in a year's time, the average person's words could fill 132 books that are 200 pages long. Why is it that we get stuck? We jump up, we say, I'm going to write a book. And the words that we say, we are writing a book every day. James challenges us about the words that we say. He uses three different word pictures to describe the need for controlling the tongue. He uses the bit. You know what a bit is? The thing that goes in the horse's mouth. He uses the rudder, the little thing underneath the ship that turns and directs the ship. And he uses untamed animals as a description of the tongue. You see, what each one of these illustrations do, what each one of them do is that it helps us to understand about restraint and direction. Hear me now, Legacy. What James is trying to show us is that if we say that we are people of faith, that when it comes to our tongue, when it comes to our talking, that we must exercise restraint with our mouth. We must exercise restraint with our tongue. And even if we can't exercise restraint, then we must be concerned about direction. Where our words are directed to and where our words are going. We have to be able to restrain the words that we use. We must be able to give direction to speak that which is right and that which is good. If we're honest with ourselves, and we could keep it real today, right? If we're honest with ourselves, then we all have to have we've all said things that we wish that we hadn't said, right? Think about it. Think about some things that you said. Probably we probably don't have to go far in our mind. Think about some things that we've said and we know that right away we knew that we shouldn't have said it. Amen? Remember those times when we speak our minds and you just say a little bit too much? The times when our anger get the best of us and we spout off and we just begin to say stuff and stuff and stuff because our anger is driving our words. Remember those times when you got just a little, you know, a juicy bit of gossip, a juicy bit of information, and you just got to share it. Remember those times when you go to somebody, you say, we got to pray. Let me tell you how we can be praying for so-and-so. But Legacy, what causes us to speak those harmful words? I think one of the things that causes us to speak harmful words to prevent us from being able to tame the tongue is nature. To be more specific, our sinful nature. You see, if we don't experience the filling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, without our daily leaning upon God, then guess what happens? The fleshly nature kicks in. And so we do what's natural. Our sinful nature is to do exactly these kind of things, to inflict hurt on other people. Another thing that prevents us from taming the tongue is nurture. Just to be plain, some of us had bad examples. There were bad examples modeled for us when we were growing up, and you guys have heard me say it before. The way you were raised and the way you heard it when you were coming up, if it's negative, if we're not careful, it will come out of you as well. And so sometimes the reason that we can't tame the tongue is because of nurture, because we were raised. Another reason that we speak harmful words and we can't tame the tongue is because of a negative spirit. You know, guys, there are some people who see nothing good in the world. And because they see nothing good in this world, they want to share that with everybody. Just negative about everything. Just negative, 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 nothing good to say. And maybe the negativity was impacted by some experience in your life. Maybe the negativity was impacted because you were hurt or something happened to you, but you find yourself where you can say nothing but negative words. You know, Legacy, maybe the reason that we struggle with taming the tongue, the reason that we speak harmful words is because maybe someone is just a new believer and haven't matured in their walk with Christ. The interesting thing is that you may profess to have been saved for 30 years and still be an immature believer. You may wear a badge on your shirt that I've been saved for 30 years, and soon as somebody say a cross word to you, you're ready to cuss them out. Immaturity. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says that you are babes in Christ. He says that sometimes people are carnal and they are still drinking Similac. And he says the evidence that they are still immature in Christ is because there are divisions among you, because there is strife, and because there is fighting. Immature believer. But I can tell you today that no matter what the cause of our struggle to tame the tongue, I can tell you today that Christ is the answer. There's nothing too hard for God. And you see, sometimes we get sidetracked because we look at the big sins, don't we? And so we say, you know what? I'm not a rapist. I'm not a serial murderer. I haven't robbed a bank. You know, I haven't stolen anything. And so we get sidetracked and we think, oh, I'm okay. You know, I got my list. I'm checking off all this thing, my mental checklist. I'm good. But so many times we neglect what James is talking about here in James chapter 3. But I'm telling you guys, James is showing us how to tame our tongue, how to overcome the power of the tongue. Look at James chapter 3, verse 3. James chapter 3, verse 3. He says, behold, he says, we put bits in the horse's mouth. He says, we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue, he says, is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You see, guys, what we begin to see from this text is that the tongue is powerful. It's powerful. The tongue is compared to two powerful things, ships and horses, which can be controlled by men by a little small piece. Then he says, but the tongue is so small and it has so much potential. But the tongue can serve as a kindle that can create a huge fire and become a world of iniquity. It's amazing how humanity can do that. We can put bits in the horses' mouths and the horses obey us. And we can turn the whole body of a horse. You guys ever rode a horse? Let me tell you, when you first approach a horse, the horse can be intimidating, can't it? The horse can be very intimidating. But once you climb on the horse and once you pull the reins, you can steer that powerful animal just by pulling on the reins and pulling the bit in the horse's mouth. Wow. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. It only takes a spark. It only takes a word that's carefully placed in the wrong place. It only takes a word that's carefully placed where it needs to be placed. And it creates an entire fire that runs wild. Just a little word, just one word. One moment things are fine. The next moment we're dealing with a major problem. He says, the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. Guys, you have the power. You have the power with your tongue. We were watching the King of Queens. Anybody watch the King of Queens? We were watching the King of Queens last night, and Carrie came home with, and she brought Doug a shirt, and he found out that she was buying his clothes from the Big and Tall. And all these years, he thought that she was buying his clothes from the regular store. And so he asked her, he said, am I really that big?
and tall. She says, well, Doug, you are a little wide. And so Doug, in his retaliation, he began to come to his wife and tell her all of these things that were awkward about her. Her forehead, she wore too much makeup, her accent. And because he began to speak those words to her, she changed her whole, it changed her whole life. Guys, you have power. The tongue is powerful. Especially those people who care about you. The words that they say to you can affect your life. It can change our lives. And we can walk around with our status and with our money, with our degrees and all of these things. But if the right person says the right word to you, it can steer your whole course. Yes. It can steer you in a totally new direction. Because we have, there's power in the tongue. Power in the tongue. And because there's power in the tongue, it's a fire that can destroy lives. It's a fire that can destroy relationships. It's a fire that can destroy friendships. And guys, there are times when we use our tongue knowing full well, knowing in advance that the words that I'm about to say is going to create a certain response or reaction from the listener. It's powerful. It's powerful. I remember, never forget this. My father died when he was 57. And it's always a desire of parents for their children to go on and do great things and do this and do this and be better than their parents. And it doesn't matter how much you accomplish in your life and how much you do this and do this and do this. It's going to always matter. What dad said is going to always matter. Amen? Amen. What mom says is going to always matter. Because the power of their words speaking into your life means something. You know what else? The power of the word of God also should mean something in our lives. Yes. We talk about the power of the tongue, but what about the power of the word of God in our lives? When God speaks, does it mean something to us? When God's word speaks into your life, does it alter your course? When God's word speaks into your life, do you move based on what God is saying in your life? It's a challenge for us, guys. That's a challenge. It's a challenge to our faith. And especially when James writes in the context of trials, in the context of persecution, in the context of your faith being on the fire. And when God speaks a word to us in the midst of our trials, when God speaks a word to us in the midst of difficult times, does it alter our course? Does it redirect our path? Or do we justify? Psalm 34 and 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Psalm 141 and 3 says, set a guard over your mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. Proverbs 12, 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15, 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 17, 28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 21:13, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. And then even Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The tongue is powerful. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we talk about this in the context of James, in the midst of a people that are struggling and going through trials. James warned them. He says, watch what you say. Mm-hmm. He says, watch what you say. You know, one of the biggest temptations that we go through when we're struggling and we're going through trials and temptations, we're tempted to talk and tell everybody what's happening with us. Then everybody and all kinds of people are pouring into your experience with their words. Tongue is powerful. Not only is the tongue powerful, but the tongue cannot be tamed. The tongue cannot be tamed. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It has never been done. The tongue runs wild. For every beast, verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and the birds and serpents and of the things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. In other words, no man can curb and restrain. It is an unholy evil full of deadly poison. It's interesting what James does here, though. He uses a word for poison because it was used to describe both the venom that was produced by snakes and scorpions, but it also used to describe rust as well. And so James gives a twofold warning. He warns us that the tongue can be like a venom. It can harm others like a venom, and it can have the ability to corrode and destroy areas of a person's life. It's hard stuff, y'all. Hard stuff. You know, sometimes we clown. We have fun and we laugh. But James goes hard in the paint, don't he? James challenges us about something that we take for granted. He challenges us about something that we use every day. He challenges us about something that we rarely even think about. James warns us and lets us know that this thing that we take for granted, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves just living unrestrained. And when we live an unrestrained life with our tongue, what we do is that we spew venom. Yes. You ever got somebody told? Anybody in your life ever upset you to the point where you say, you know what, I got a few things I need to say to you? Anybody ever brought you to a point in your life where you said, you know what, I'm gonna get that person told. I'm going to get you. And our emotions and our anger get all worked up and get involved. And before you know it, all of this venom, all of this corrosion. The last thing that I see in this text, verses 9 through 12, is that the tongue is spiritual. The tongue is spiritual. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grape tree bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You see, the tongue makes our the wrong use of the tongue, it makes our religion useless in God's sight.
James had already warned us in chapter 1 that if our faith is weak, then it makes our religion vain.
You know what destroys our religion? What destroys our Christian walk? The tongue.
James says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Where are you at today, Legacy, with your tongue? Where are you today with your speech? Where are you? I want to encourage you today to not be a curse, but a blessing. I want to encourage you today to let you know that your words are powerful and that your words, the wrong use of, I know that we're not, I'm not following the slide, Cola, so. I want to encourage you by letting you know that your words are powerful. And the words that we speak to one another mean so much. Don't live an unrestrained life. Be conscious of how you direct your words. I love this. If you can find it, Cola, think before you speak. I love this. Think before you speak. Is what you're about to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Think before you speak. And finally, if we want to tame the tongue, we got to be willing to let it go. If we want to tame the tongue, guys, we got to let some things go. Sometimes the reason that some of the things come out of our mouths is because we can't let it go. And I believe that God is saying that we must let go. We must be willing to let go. We must be gracious to those who say things that we don't like. Give people the benefit of the doubt. You know? Give people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe what the person said wasn't meant the way you took it. Maybe that person was having an off day, or maybe there was some turmoil in that person's life and that you didn't even know about. Be gracious to those who say things that you don't like. Try to understand where they're coming from and what's going on in their lives. Be silent. If there's something that's been said about you and you don't necessarily need to respond. Sometimes remaining silent is the best thing. Keep your words sweet, because you may have to eat them. And then finally, ask God for help. Remember, as we said earlier today, you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. It takes the daily filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit.
be filled with the Spirit. And as we are living a life that's yielded to the Lord, as we are daily saying, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. God, as we are daily on our knees praying, as we are daily reading God's word, we begin to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. And guys, I'm here to tell you, you heard me say this before, I don't make any bones about it. I guarantee you that you cannot control the tongue. You cannot tame the tongue without the filling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. If you try to do this thing in your own life, in your own strength, you will fail.